it's just nice to and see.
See, I don't have enough patience around this. I
get communities, you know, coming together.
And sometimes it'll actually pick up more than one or two of the buttons.
It is. It really is.
That's because of you.
I know.
Yes. I hope, like I say, this won't take too much of your evening, but thank you, everybody, for telling me that. I'll say that until everybody else is here.
So
as far as I know, the only ones we didn't.
We're working on trying to find a piece where we can connect these.
The school district.
The register of the audio system.
But I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's really children involved in this, and it's important that we do, so. Just have it. Howdy.
Is it just to sit wherever?
Yep, no particular place.
No sign, see?
Yeah, you just can't sit there.
Just not there. Anywhere but there or there.
So Gary, you got my email?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll put it in front of the CDC in November and then council in November. So
okay.
It'll be all done before.
Good. Thank you.
Mayor. Mayor?
Oh.
Sorry. I need to leave my work phone on just from an emergency situation we had just right as
before. Fine with me. This is just a committee that's not ad hoc, so.
Okay. Thank you.
Gosh, Ben, how many committees are you on?
Do you have an extra pen?
Nice catch.
Right where I need
it. Perfect.
I could see your arm, but I couldn't see it without my glasses on, so I knew something was coming.
Well, that made it even more impressive, actually.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I just dug deep in there and I didn't find one, so.
Next week. Yeah. I leave Wednesday night.
I guess it was okay if I took that one off of the table.
Yeah, there's another one over here. I'll be gone for the rest of that week, the following week, and then back probably. And then again in November, after the CDC meeting, I'll be leaving again for another.
You hurt your head?
Oh, okay. For a rifle?
Yeah.
Hey, little birdie told me that you guys were on the movie in the park.
And my youngest son just got back from
Idaho
archery hunting.
They didn't
get anything this year, but they have a heck of a good time.
Yeah. Did it the first time this year.
A lot of people are hunting over there. I hear a lot of people are going over to Idaho.
2 years ago?
No, yeah, they've been going. This is a little bit different place.
Expensive.
They used to go more to the east and south of here, but they tried.
Okay. Put the effort for some music.
They surprised them and got a
so
tag
did they keep
there,
the equipment
so
they had, or did they give it to you?
I might as well be going.
That was city.
A stone throw away from it.
So
yeah.
Still have it.
Yeah.
Okay, because we're looking at doing something.
Beth, what did you do to your neck?
So.
Beth, what did you do to your
neck? Where would you do it?
Excuse me, what did you do?
Oh, yeah. I picked up some
probably
stuff.
Laurel
probably
Park.
Probably shouldn't have.
Because we've got the biggest, like,
thanks for asking.
Flat area, like on the side of the building.
It is what it is.
Plus also the side for like a covered area if need be.
I've had a couple of neck operations.
Kind of marketing is moving under the water tower.
I should know better.
You know what I mean? So, Okay, well, I may have Jeremy come talk with you a little bit, see, because I'd like to partner with the chamber, so we're kind of using your guys' network to get the word out, too.
Okay, and, yeah, anything I can answer, I'll get with Michelle Eldridge over there, because she chaired the event there.
Perfect.
So, we can get some answers.
Yeah, well, especially now that we've got time now, since we're kind of getting to the end of the summer, and we've got the whole, because we were looking at movie licensing, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it wasn't cheap, but it wasn't that bad.
Right.
And maybe, you know, maybe we can all kind of partner together and get something to...
Yes, I better get a mask.
Where we could all use, you know what I mean?
You have an extra mask?
Do you have extra?
Let me grab one for you real quick.
Yeah, there's some out in the... Oh, one up there. Hello, Gordon.
Hi.
I'm Beverly, how are you?
Hi, Beverly.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome. I think that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it's gonna be...
Cool.
Back in the dark ages, I participated in the Louisiana Purchases 150th Centennial. I think the celebration's a little more local.
Yeah, you're not gonna tell me that you were here 120 years ago during the first...
I was.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe somebody had.
Yeah, or sometimes when I feel like I have, but...
Well, probably Barb would have.
Star Six, right?
Yeah, for the public comment side of it.
Yes, I'll wanna be there when the meeting starts, you know, here, and it's over Q and A.
Yeah.
I don't know, do you know if, Gordon, you wanna join us at the table?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
You can't join us?
No.
No, there's...
I gotta hold up the back row. My job.
Jason, do you know whether Kitty was able to get hold of anyone from the school district?
She, as of this half, about 3 o'clock this afternoon, she had not heard from anybody.
Okay, I will give them a call.
With as many new folks as they have, they're probably a little busy for the start of the year. They have, they're coming across some rather large deferred maintenance projects.
Well, you superintendent's gotta get his feet under him too, so...
Exactly.
Well, I appreciate all of the rest of you for coming, and I guess I'd call the meeting to order. I don't feel like this should be a real formal one, we're not gonna do...
The recording has started.
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry, okay. Yes, but I do want to, I'm Beverly, by the way, Bev, and I wanna thank y'all for coming, I really do. I am, we're gonna go around the table and introduce ourselves, and I'll start over here on my left.
All right, I wore one of my most expensive masks in your honor, so if you can hear me. So I got a Jack in the Box right here. My name is Bill DeMarco, I wrangled the Historical Society the last few years, and you've heard my name in other venues, but here I'm in that capacity, so I'm here to facilitate whatever you guys wanna do. I don't know if everybody got the emails we sent out this morning?
I did not.
Oh, okay. I think I used your AOL that Kitty used. So, if it's not there, just let me know. I guess I was going into that agenda item, so I'll shut up.
Okay, all right.
Old habits.
I'm Gary Capping, I'm the Public Works Director, staff lead on this committee, I guess.
I'm Gordon Johnson, pastor, and well, I am with the Jefferson City Ministerial Association, but also a King's Grace Fellowship, and I'm here to have a party. Aren't we all? I think.
I'm here to party with him. I'm Andrea Seneca, and I'm city councilor.
I'm Rick Kissick, Tri-County Chamber of Commerce Executive Director.
And I'm Beth Fiesick, and I'm gonna be lucky enough to be mayor of Junction City. And we have two guests. Y'all want to introduce yourselves?
I think everybody knows me.
Sandy and Jason. I'm going to pass this around. If you don't want to put any, under notes, I put my two phone numbers, personal phone numbers. But however y'all want to be contacted by me, if it's an email, cell phone, or if you don't want to put anything. And Gordon, I'm going to let you put your own name. Anyway, just fill out what's missing there. Okay, I'd appreciate it. Let you do that and we will. Oh, here, you want a pen?
No.
I made a copy, although my computer for some reason is showing its age and didn't want to. And I did everything I could think of, including what my grandson suggested I do over the phone. So it cut off some of the words, but Bill sent out, it's a from the Historical Society, and it's in regard to what we're talking about tonight.
Is it the thing from Linda?
Yeah, I've got Linda.
I've got copies of that.
Okay. You finished getting that filled out? I guess while we're waiting on the brief history of Junction City, I'd like to ask, and you can start this way, how long you've been in Junction City or if you're born and raised here.
Okay, been in Junction City just over 12 years as the director of the Chamber of Commerce. And originally from Montana, so used to small towns.
All right, what part of Montana?
Southwest Montana from Butte.
Oh, okay. I remember that now. I do remember that now.
Were you really?
Yep.
I knew there was a connection.
Where's he from?
Us great people, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
Just ask us, we'll tell.
Yes, right.
Okay. And Andrea?
I've been in Junction for 20 years now. We got here in my early 20s and have been here ever since.
I've pastored here 46 years.
Oh my
goodness. And my wife actually grew up here, and we got to know each other in college in Western Oregon. So we've been here quite a while.
All right.
I pretty much grew up here. I was born in Corvallis, but spent most of my time here. So.
And Mr. DeMarco.
I retired here the first time in 99 and married in about 79. To a in-laws up on Ferguson Road. So spent a lot of time out of the country and stuff, but in and out, kept track of things during that time. And then again, like I said, I retired here the first time in 99. Been here since.
Jason?
I came here in 2006. I was born and raised about 80 miles up the road, little town of Yamhill. And with the exception of the 4 years I was in the military, I've been here in Oregon.
All right. Sandy?
I was born in Butte. We went to school, started school here in the first grade when Laurel was a year old. I think Laurel Elementary was open for a year. Moved to Amity in the fifth grade and was there for a few years. Been back here to finish high school and get married and back again. So I've been here a long time.
When did Safeway start? The other store that you were in?
Where I started at?
Yeah.
I don't know when it opened. I started working for 10 o'clock market, and that Safeway was there where Chevron is now.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. One of them had burnt down, but it wasn't during life.
Yeah.
I'm not quite that old yet.
Yeah.
Mayor Pisick.
Yes.
I can take that question even further.
Okay.
First Safeway was in the Oddfellows building downstairs.
It was. Yeah. Oddfellows building. Wow.
Did not know.
Do you know what year?
1932 or 4.
Wow.
And then they built the one where the Chevron is.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I came up here in June of 1959 to visit relatives. I'm from Louisiana. And my cousin was going with a young man, and he turned out to have a cousin. And his name was Gene Fiesick, and that I ended up marrying him in 1961. And we moved to, we actually opened up the shop and stuff here because my husband got tired of retirement in January of 1993. And we've been here ever since. And now I'm here still. Love this little town. First time we lived in some small towns when I was growing up, but we moved to actually raised in the New Orleans area. So this is my first time of living in a small town. And now I'm gonna turn it over to our historian, Mr. DeMarco.
Well, that's a generous title. When I learned of my agenda item from the mayor, after she'd sent it out, my first reaction was, well, gosh, I'm not the guy that does brief, as some of you know. I did send out to everyone, including the superintendent, because that's the only school contact I have, a sample of what we've been doing every week for the last couple of years, which is going into depth on a small subject. We actually started that just before the coronavirus hit, but it worked out well because it's been our version of distance learning that's been popular enough that we're going to continue doing it. So I sent you a sample of that this last Sunday's I was going to say offering, but that's kind of in your realm, so I won't call it our Sunday's offering. Our weekend's offering was about actually a small sketch done by the Oregonian about Junction City in the 1890s, which is a nice brief history to that time. And we put that out because this week is the birthday of our great patron, Mary Pitney, who endowed the Historical Society, got it started, and gave us a house. Or two, if you count all the financing of the other one. And she was born in the 1890s and lived 104 years, so she lived about two-thirds of the time that we're celebrating. And I thought that was a nice coincidence that we had covered that this week. So I sent that to you guys, and if you want to be on that mailing list and get those every week, just let us know. Because I'm not the briefest of persons, one of our life members who led the organization some years ago, Linda Van Orden, wrote a quite nice and tidy brief history back in the 90s, and I got her permission yesterday to reprint this for you, so I sent that up to you as well, and I have physical copies too. What I said in my email this morning, and you know, what I would offer today as far as a brief history is, the more we dig into Junction City's history and the history of the area, we find that it's been very resilient, you know, in the values that it's kept, no matter what's happened out in the world or outside influences. It always comes back down to those basic values of family and farm and faith and not political left and right, just more traditional, you know, approach to things. Self-sufficient, you know, hardworking, community-minded, you know, tremendous community organizations over the years. The railroad came and went. In some ways, the community was happy that it went. You know, you had very strong community organizations focusing on education, and there's always been a massive church presence for the size of the town. Huge contribution during wartime. Over 500 people from the town served in during World War II, when the population was only 1,162. a lot of those folks were from the surrounding farms, but a part of the community. And so I think you're, as I said this morning, I think you're safe in celebrating just about any era and any basic tradition that you're all used to if you've been here. All of you have been here long enough to have that sink in. Junction City is very stubborn about those values and has survived many a big change that took over or altered other places. Any area of interest that you have that we can send you things that we've already explored or detailed on, I think, you know, we'd be more than happy to do that. Our role, I think, is just to help you feel comfortable and so that you know you're staying on the rails, you know, so that you may come up with something that never happened here, and if you want to know if you're on the right track or not, I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Is there much history on Bushnell?
There's quite a bit, and there's quite a bit. I understand there's a storehouse of information at one of your affiliates, which is the First Christian Church. I think
yes.
They still have some files yeah. there, and the university is exploring that with us. They just renamed Northwest Christian College
yeah.
Bushnell. Up here it's Bushnell. We don't. We're not too hard on them about that, but that, they're Bushnell.
But, yeah.
But
they should have named him back in the beginning.
Yeah, he was an unsung hero. He yeah. He really made it happen, and but there were other people better at marketing.
Yeah.
This happens, you know. I think he was happy to make sure it got done, you know, behind the scenes. But, yeah, so I think y'all know how to get hold of me or through the mayor. So, as I said in the email, it wasn't intended to scare you. You don't have to be a big student. I think, you know, what the mayor's told me she has in mind, it's a party, as Pastor Johnson said. We're not going to go around looking for correctness of detail and harassing you. You know? We're just here to serve your needs. So. If anybody has any questions, or if I didn't talk about what you wanted me to talk about.
Well, I appreciate you sending those on. Thanks.
And I found it very interesting, even though I thought I knew the history of Junction City. But I found it very interesting, so thank you.
I like the price of property in 1902.
Oh, I know, isn't that just kidding?
When was it?
1902. It's $31.25 an acre.
It's just a touch under what we just paid for acreage.
Yeah.
thing we sent out this Sunday from the Oregonian, they quote that kind of, I think it was $30 or $40 for wheat land per acre, or hop land, yeah. Right by the river. You know, so. They're like, it's a mile out of town. You know.
Yeah.
Quite a ways.
My great-grandfather homesteaded where I grew up between Vaughan.
Oh.
And it was just a disaster because it was all old growth. And they had to burn it all down and burn it all up because there's no way. It was huge. Yeah. They couldn't move it. And they needed to farm. So.
Don't get me started and cut me off, but one of the areas we're really interested in is in the Native American population that was here beforehand, in the sense, in many senses, but something that was unique about the Indians in the Willamette Valley and around this part is they kind of in a hybrid way, they were hunters and gatherers, but they farmed in a way. They didn't plant crops necessarily, but they managed their environment so that they encouraged certain things that grew wild to do better, and burned off things that,
yeah.
that didn't. So a lot of the folks that were lucky enough to get a land claim down here in the valley early on, the land was already cleared.
Yeah.
They didn't go through what people went through moving west through the other parts of the country where the forest was so dense. They would, it would work for years to clear enough land to plant any crops. And you have a lot of land, of the landscape is what they call oak savanna, where there'll be a big oak and then prairie. And that was because the Calipuya Indians would burn it off so that they could harvest the camas or the tarweed or whatever they were favoring. And so it's obviously interesting to me, but we could go into any of those topics that you guys want.
I think we need to get back on.
Yes, I know.
Next thing on the agenda is ideas on the city's 150th birthday celebration. And by the way, I'm Bev, or Beverly, whichever. I really don't care as long as you keep it nice. But you don't have to, no title or anything at this point. What I had in mind, and I guess I'll go first, is to make it more of a non-commercial celebration and have it the town. You know, it's a birthday, so look at it that way. Having it on a weekend like a Saturday and Sunday, have the main celebration on a Saturday, and then on Sunday encourage people to go to the church on Sunday morning, and then possibly have a citywide picnic, maybe out in the past Oaklea, not Oaklea, Laurel, in that area, or you know, where they have the soccer and the baseball, softball fields. And on Saturday, different organizations, like the schools, could do something at the school. And as Bill said, we have, there's 150 years to choose from. So you can do something from the turn of the century when they used to have the pumpkin celebration every fall. You could do whatever as long, and I'm not saying that, like if the churches, for instance, and don't feel obliged, but you know, say the churches want all to get together and host a dinner. Well, naturally you would charge for that. I don't mean that, but just don't want anyone coming in from outside and expecting to make a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
If you break even, that would be great. If you make a little bit, that'd be fine too. And maybe on Saturday night have a block party with different kinds of dances. I don't know, even we could even do like a beard growing contest. Everybody dress up in their favorite era and have a style show. There's all kinds of ideas, and I would like to find out from y'all, and we'll start over here with Rick, if you have any ideas on what you would like to see, and especially coming from the different organizations that you represent.
I guess, you know, as we started, and it kind of came when I got these today, is that as I read through here, and I'm kind of the newbie in the room here for Junction City, but a lot of information here that is kind of new to me, and it's going to be helpful as I continue talking with visitors and whatnot. But I'm wondering if maybe to start preparing that we move back a year, which would be this coming October, and maybe work with the newspaper to see if we can't get an article a week on some historical thing of Junction City, or a piece of the history to start preparing the people to know that this celebration is coming. So it's kind of a year in advance. People can kind of start getting ready, and then also learn a lot more about their community. So I have a feeling there's a lot of people, and we know there are a lot of people that are moving in here that aren't native to the area and wouldn't hurt them to learn a little bit about the community. So might be a good way to start promoting early without, you know, actually promoting, but getting people interested.
Do you have a set time?
Do you mean
for the celebration?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that's something I'd probably talk about. I was going to get the ideas, but that is on at least my agenda. I was thinking about, because it's already September, and the actual celebration is in October of next year?
The actual day of the anniversary is the 29th of October.
Oh, okay.
And by that time, it's getting a little late, and hopefully, we're in some rain next year. Hopefully by this year, too. So my thought was maybe September, because less likely of having quite so much rain. So if y'all want to deviate right now, what time do y'all think? Because if we go August, we're getting into Scandinavian Festival, and I don't want to do that to them. Even though we're not going to be in competition, because it's not the same type of event. I just thought September was a good time.
Sounds good.
I can't think of anything that would be butting up against it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The reason why I said Saturday and Sunday is Friday night, the possibility of football games. And we would encourage everyone to go, and they could go in their costume, but I don't want it to interfere with that, too. So what does anybody else think? So when in September? Do we want to go the middle of September or the end?
I'm just deferring to the organizations. They're going to have to juggle their families and schedules and other needs. So the Historical Society can adapt to whatever you guys.
Gary, is there a time for the city that would be more convenient?
Probably earlier September than later. So early to mid September would probably be better than late September.
And that's the one thing I didn't do, is bring a calendar. Jason, do we have a calendar for next year somewhere?
Not that far out, no.
Okay. I guess go look on my phone, didn't I?
What day would normally, would school start?
It usually starts the Wednesday after Labor Day.
Yeah, so it's probably...
Oh, and it would probably... Sure.
Yeah. So we might want to go the week after that.
You could go 10th, 11th, 17th, 18th, something like that.
Probably suggest maybe a weekend or two after school starts to give them time to get their feet under them from the startup of the school year.
17th, 18th puts it right in the middle of September, which is 2 weeks after school would start, so.
Maybe something like that.
Since we're looking at primarily our town celebrating, we're not looking to bring in a lot of influx of people from outside. Do we need to check on football games for Oregon and Oregon State?
I guarantee you they'll be on that weekend.
Well, if they're away games, though, it won't be a problem.
You won't know that till late.
Yeah, they sometimes always already have some of the games in for next year already.
I'm shocked you don't know, Gary.
They don't have even.
I know what their schedule is this year.
Yeah, I do too. I've got it on the side of my refrigerator for both.
Next year? Mm-hmm. Not yet. But I don't think, from the city side, I don't think it matters one way or the other.
Okay.
I mean.
What about the Gordon of churches? Would there be anything that you could think of that?
I don't think so. I think that'd be a good spot.
Okay.
School's started.
If you get rain, it'll be warm like the one.
Yes,
okay.
It'll be warm.
Because so there's nothing on there for 2022 Oregon football schedule?
No, not yet.
OSU, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, and about that time they prep. If anything, it'd probably be still a preseason.
Yeah.
And so you're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can tell you from 2 years ago, during the light parade, the Ducks were playing in the championship game the same night as the light parade. And we had a huge attendance, so it really didn't impact it.
Yeah, I have it on my phone.
There it is. I put the TV in the window, so I got a large crowd in front of the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
If it's hometowny and you're not trying to make money commercially from outside vendors, I think you don't have to worry so much about that.
Yeah.
Families will find a way to go to the night game and still come to something in the afternoon maybe.
I can check on that too. But for now, let's tentatively say September the 17th and 18th, that's Saturday and a Sunday. Okay.
A lot of families have been priced out of season tickets too.
Although they are a little bit cheaper this year.
They'll shoot them back up as soon as they're able.
Yeah, that's true. Well, especially, I'm sure they went back, yeah, because they're number three in the nation now for Oregon, so. And OSU is doing pretty darn good, so.
You remember the centennial in, where was it? East of Portland somewhere, Damascus in 1950-something. And they had some of the women made quilts for the state history quilts.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of quilters here.
Well, you know, some of the churches, if you can go back to your group, and if they want to do something like that, you know, to do something that would benefit the church.
Yeah.
And also something that would be interesting for the community, like something like that, you know. That's a great idea.
You know, we have a quilt at one of the museums that's from the Christian Church, which was Bushnell's Church, and the first church in town. And can't remember the year that's on it, but it's in the 1800s. And they have 300 names of the people that were members of the church.
Wow.
A lot of famous names on there. So that's a cool tradition to revive that if somebody wants to do that. We have lots of ideas coming from history, more than you'd want to hear. We don't ourselves have the staff to pull them off, as a historical setting. We're mainly trying to get the Lee House Museum up and running by then. That'd be a nice anniversary.
Gordon, you have anything else to add other than?
Yeah, I think, not everybody goes to church, but there are enough people, who do go to church that a significant number of the city, so I think a lot of the church people would want to participate in some kind. So I'll talk with them. Well, in fact, next week we'll have a meeting and I'll talk to them about that, just thinking about ahead. Yeah, I'm excited about doing that.
Oh, good. Yeah, I would love to see the churches on Sunday even bring in the fact of it being the 150th. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And, talk about maybe how their church came to be here in Junction City.
There's a little bit of that history in that Linda wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And what?
The stuff that Linda wrote.
Oh, yeah.
There's
some
of that in there that explains what church went where or where it was moved to where it came from. And,
Well, I know we live in the old Jackson house on 6th, and it goes with the house. It's a picture that's also at the Lee House, and it's a picture of the house, but there also you can see downtown Junction City.
Yeah.
And like the Lutheran church that's down the street from us was over here, and you can see, I think it's 5 churches in that, and of course the school that was just around the corner from us. You can't see the high school. That was where that picture was taken from the bell tower of the high school that was on Washburn Park now. But yeah, it is, it's amazing how there's an awful lot of, I would like to see a tour of the city, of some, like a walking tour. Somebody got one of those together years ago, I know, because they came by and asked if our house could be on it.
We have that. We have a brochure for that.
And, you know, to let people know, you know, this church used to be here and, you know, whatever.
That could be part of your Saturday activity.
Yeah.
To offer that up. The only other thing I thought of earlier today, which would involve you and probably you, is if you could reach out to some of the other businesses that used to be something else and have them post something in their window about what they were in the beginning and how they evolved to where they're at. I always think of things that don't involve me working, so.
I've met you.
I'm really good at it.
I would have flinched at Rick's suggestion of something in the paper every week, that even if he was thinking of the historical site. We have about 75 weeks in the can from what we've been doing every Sunday, so. But we could also solicit other people's stories we haven't heard yet, you know, and check them for accuracy and slander and expose a lot of new writers to the world that way. I think
even if once a month, just, you know, to get some history out.
Yeah.
Rick, would you be interested in talking to Edie about our idea about the article on, I'm sure she'd do a good job.
Linda Van Orden has an extensive archive that she compiled. She has a lot of the same things we did, because she compiled it while she was with the board for 35 years or so. So she told me, when I talked to her yesterday, she said, I'm not doing as much research, but I'll answer questions as long as people don't argue with me.
Well, that'd be a source for Edie for the newspaper.
Edie knows her, so, you know, whatever the newspaper's comfortable with, you know, they've worked with her before, so. We don't need to hog it.
I think that's a great idea to get people excited about it and learning about our town.
She's pretty homebound, Linda, so I think if there's a level of activity she's comfortable with, I think it'd be great.
I think if you're thinking about doing that, something should probably get posted on some community page.
Yeah.
Something pleasant and positive on a community page would be great, so.
Are you trying to tell us something here?
If we could get positive information out there for them to go read, maybe stop all the negative stuff.
Good to hear an optimistic campaign.
Well, I'm sure somewhere there's a picture of the Jacksons. We live in the old Jackson house, by the way. And because they were, of course, right down here and around the corner was the mercantile store.
The Raven.
Yeah.
That was in this Sunday's email, if you read it thoroughly.
Yes, I did read through it.
You were in there.
In the Odd Fellows building, and I know, gosh, there's been the bank, there have been all kinds of buildings that are still here. Some have gone by the wayside, but. But that's a great idea, Gary. Okay. Gordon, or do you have anything else you wanted to?
Well, I'm excited about it. I will, this next week, talk to the Minister Association. I think they'll all want to be involved in it. So I'm encouraged about it.
All right.
And partly because we have a whole year to do some planning. That's great.
Yeah. I thought we needed to really get started. I probably should have done it before this, but. And I apologize for that. That was
excellent.
Me.
You weren't in office when it was first brought to the city.
Yes, I was going to say, he brought it up like 3 years ago.
No, four.
Four, oh, okay, sorry.
On the record.
Andrea, you have anything, any thoughts on this?
I do, but I might be on a completely separate page because when I saw the 150th, I think I might have shared with some people, I was kind of excited about that. And then Gordon said party, and I was like, yes. But I was hoping to like have it more like a week long event. give Scandinavian a run for their money. But I was, so I did a bunch of research and I looked at like what a lot of other towns have done across the United States, just random stuff for their 150th. And I think, so some of the things that I looked at is, oh, I remember, Bill, you had said something a while back to me about how Junction City was the junction, and I don't even remember what we were talking about, how we came up with that, but I remember you saying that. And so I think bringing like the original roots and kind of celebrating that, at least maybe for something, but you know, because I think a lot of people think of Junction City as the Scandinavian, that's kind of what it's made its name for in more current times. And so I think, you know, celebrating the junction part of it and the railroad and stuff would be good. And then I thought too, so I had a couple ideas. I thought too of maybe having like a parade one day, and kind of the original route that all the other, you know, the parades go or stuff in town, the downtown area. But we ask community members to do their research and history, and then like submit a slip of what they want to do for a float or something for the parade, in that way to get the community involved, and then they can have a float on whatever research that they've done on the history. And then that would, I thought that would be good because it would bring out a lot of the community to be a part of that. And then also, like maybe even leading, if we could do a parade, having the high school be a part of that, maybe with the marching band, and then have all the, you know, athletes and stuff in their uniforms, you know, coming and kind of leading the parade and something like that, to just to get the schools involved. And then I really looked up a lot of stuff. Don't want to overwhelm everybody.
It's actually a good opportunity to assign something like the parade to the school since they're not here.
Let's get, what's the hardest thing? And then
put them in charge of that, and they can get to work with Rick at the chamber for the businesses. So,
and you know, if we had a good turnout with that, I think it would bring a lot of people out. And then I thought we could have one day and where we celebrate our businesses in town, and so we encourage like a, you know, celebrate our 150th by shopping locally, eating out locally, keeping it local, you know, within the community here. I don't know. I just picked some of this up off of other towns too.
That's something we could do for a week, is encourage everybody for that week, shop in Junction City and eat out in Junction City. And to encourage, yeah. But like I say, that's something that could be done for a week.
Well, if the mayor and the committee feels in a flexible mood, a good way to approach some of these things in a planning sense is to set your default, your core weekend that you want to do. Set your bar low so that you know you're at least going to do that weekend. And then put those ideas out there and just see what your response is. Because for every good idea, you need an organization to pick up that ball and run with it. You know, I think a parade's a great idea, but I would want to hear that it wasn't the historical society organized. I want to know which organization is going to pick that up. Or maybe it's the city, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The city government.
And, yeah.
You know, so I think the week-long thing is great. I think that the way you do it so that you don't have a failure of expectations is you start with your weekend that you're going to
mm-hmm.
have that core weekend with your Sunday things and your, well, you could also have the parade on Saturday too if you want to make sure that happens. And then just grow the week as you get the support, you know, for the people that are going to pull off the different things.
Yeah.
But you can put your parade on Saturday if that's a core thing that you want to make sure happens.
Yeah, and then the, you know, there's a lot of stuff, like really from early on. I just read through this right when you gave it to me. And there's, I mean, the churches have been big, you know, since pretty much the get-go. And so something even like encouraging everybody, like maybe, I don't know if you have like a group of, you know, all the churches that you guys, I don't know if you guys all hang out or whatever, or I don't know.
Yeah.
But like an open house, like everybody's welcome. Pick one and go on a Sunday and...
That's what I had in mind, is encouraging. Yeah.
You know, just have like an open house, everybody's welcome. And, you know, and then have something special that day just to talk about the celebration of the city. And, yeah, that's kind of the stuff that I came up with, but I don't know if anybody wants to go that big.
No, go ahead if you've got more.
Because I could turn this into a month-long event if you want me to.
There's a lot of cities that turned it into a year-long event. If you look, start Googling 150 years, they started early, and then there was so many days that the museums were open and for free, and there were so many days this happened, and there was things like the parade, and I mean, I did a very brief search this afternoon on it, and there's a lot out there if you want to read about it.
There is. I started going through this like over a month ago, and I would just click on a city that, you know, like it automatically popped up.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of just write down what they did, then I'd pick on the next city, and then write down, and kind of like, these were pretty common things that a lot of the cities did. And there's a lot of, you know, good ideas in there.
Well, I know in growing up, I went to, it was 100th, and they brought in, this was when we happened to be living away from New Orleans in northern Louisiana, which is more redneck. I mean, I don't mean that derogatory. It's quite different from southern Louisiana, let's put it that way. They brought in all of the farm machinery, like we've done here, I know, at times. And they had hay rides, you know, free hay rides, and it was all very farm oriented, but it was it could apply here too.
I think, yeah, because I think like a lot of the farming is big to the outskirts of Junction City. There's several generations of farmers.
Yep.
Used to be
some great hops grown around here, wasn't there? Yeah. I think at one time, yeah. But go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, that's just what the ideas that I came up with that I thought would be fun for the city to do and to involve the community. Especially, I think, if we like kind of let the community maybe make up the parade and kind of come up with their ideas and submit it, and maybe the committee can be like, yay, nay, do a little bit of this, or, you know, whatever, kind of, you know. But yeah, if somebody wanted to do like tractors and stuff, and then somebody wanted to do, make a train out of their trailer, or somebody wanted to do something Scandinavian, it's all part of our city, just at different times, and so I think it would be fun.
Railroad, whatever, you know, I know that the kids, because I've been a judge at the high school for their noise parade, for their floats, and they just so enjoy that. They get the biggest, and I think that's so little town.
Those dates that you picked are awful close to their noise parade, so they could put their floats in that.
Yeah, just
in. Yeah, I'm just saying that way they get to use them twice. Yeah, that. That's a good thought.
So their parents may not be happy if they're going to tie up the trailer that long, but you know.
The one thing I like about the light parade is, and the 4th of July over in Harrisburg, is that anybody, there's no entry, no nothing, you get in line and you go.
Yeah.
which is fun, but I like the parade idea and the fact that the float's representing a piece of Junction City history. Those are all really good ideas, Andrew. Thank you.
I have one idea.
Yeah.
Did you go to Rick yet?
No.
Did you have more ideas?
Not yet. I'm listening. I've got tons of ideas.
Oh, I jumped the line.
Yes, it's his turn, so you...
Okay. No, I follow up on the parade idea. I think it'd be neat. I also think it'd be fun because it'd be coming back a little bit more... you know, at least 50 years, is if we can't get them to reinstitute the pet parade. and try to do something of that nature.
Part of that.
And we could probably get the Lions Club to do that, and maybe even Sir Optimus might do something like that. So I think that could involve another group of people as well, or combine them with having the pets up front and, you know, the floats, and just make it a huge parade. Let everybody get involved, and when they finish, then they get to watch.
Yeah. I think that's great. And that, yeah, I was part of the pet parade since 1993, because I joined BPW in February after we moved here. So, yeah, president twice. So, yeah, that was, I hated to see that go under, but sometimes some things run their
the other
life.
Thing, I think, in a discussion that we had talked at one point with some folks, in trying to get the high school involved, we've got some really bare buildings, especially alley sides and things like that. And I'm just wondering if they couldn't get the art departments to maybe do a mural like the Buckles building on that alley side, maybe doing a mural of the Opera House, something like that. And that way, if they could do that before school let out in the spring, then it would be there throughout the summer. And if they could do that in a couple of buildings that are really blah around town, that might pique some interest as well. And besides, then looking out the window, I wouldn't have to look at that blah alley side of the building.
I was
going to
say that.
You know, a little method madness here.
All right.
Okay. And I'm sorry, now.
Well, I have it's not so much an idea as the history of an idea that kind of ties together, it might work to tie together a lot of the good ideas that we've heard. I haven't heard a bad one, really. In 1909, again, this is this interesting part of our history where folks were kind of chafing. You know, Junction City, it wasn't called Junction City, but people were pretty settled here for about 30 years before the railroad came. And they're quite traditional and responsible, and farmers and churches. Not laid out like this. There was no town, but in this area. And Mr. Bushnell's church was called Grand Prairie Congregation. It was down around Meadowview, down that way. And Meadowview was even platted out as a town and never developed when Mr. City came in. So you had these very settled people, and the railroad came. And by about 1909, the ladies of the town, and they liked to be called that then, kind of got fed up with a lot of stuff and organized. And they had something called the Women's Improvement Club. And it wasn't for the improvement of women, it was for the women of the town to improve the town. And we've done pieces on this that I can send to you if you're interested. Mrs. Lee, Dr. Lee's wife, was the first president. And in 1909, one of their first activities, later on they would put in the first cement sidewalks and plant 200 roses, which we have some. So, but in 1909, they started what they called the Punkin Show, P-U-N-K-I-N Show. And it was a harvest festival. And we talked about this, and we did a chamber after hours a couple years ago based on that. Complete with Jordan and his banjo band and hay bales and the whole deal. And the first year they did it as part of the Lane County Fair, and they had a pumpkin queen, and they had, you know, contests and different departments, and kind of like you see the old parts of the Lane County Fair when they had the granges competing with produce displays and the cow palace there, you know. And it was so successful that in 1910 they held it in Junction City. And where the water tower is today was a big kind of, they call it the exposition hall, it was a skating rink. indoor skating rink during the year with a steam calliope of all things. And that's where they would hold expositions, and they had the pumpkin show headquartered there. And it became a big regional festival, lasted about 30 years. And I can send you some of the articles from the day back then and stuff we've written on it, but they would have animal parades, like you're talking about. They would have baby day with all the kids under two in their perambulators or baby carriages in a little parade. Baby contests, they had pumpkin growing contests, they had a pumpkin queen. They had posters, we've got one poster, original poster that's just like printed in Chicago very professionally. And it was a huge deal, and pretty much the died out in the late 20s, you know, the Depression and stuff. But, you know, in the early years before there was a lot of automobile traffic, which really lasts most of its term as a festival, folks would ride the train from Portland and Eugene and get off on Front Street. And the headquarters of the thing was right there on Front Street. For a while, it was there with the Opera House. The Opera House is right behind you here across the alley. And your exposition hall is right there. And, you know, for an agricultural town, we're kind of, you know, kind of ripe for some kind of harvest deal. Harrisburg does something, you know.
Yeah.
And you've got a former fairgrounds manager in the room. I don't know if you're aware of that, so he's got some opinions on that stuff. But a lot of stuff, sorry Sandy, I have that effect.
No, I've got to go pick up a nephew. Bye everybody.
Good to see you. Yeah, so that's a theme, you know, harvest is a theme, and you know, if that strikes a chord, you know, it's just another. We're fortunate that 150th is an overall theme, which can justify anything, right? So each organization or church or whatever can do something that ties into that. Yeah, we're having a party, it's 150th, so we chose to do X. But harvest is another theme you can weave in there, you know, and you know, it ties in with homecoming parades and noise parades and animals and vegetables. And you may want to be careful with the pumpkin queen thing. Is that, I won't go there. I'm being bad. There's politics associated with that. I'm sorry.
Taking what you're saying and then what Andrea said, rather than, I mean, everyone's got to work. Or if you're lucky enough to have been retired, but majority of people, and you want all ages here, have to work. But we could do something in the evening for a week. You know, do, and one of those could, we could have a pumpkin queen, have a contest and crown a pumpkin queen, and that could be the very first on a Monday night with a, you know,
Well, they would
rain for, you know, that, and they'd be in the parade naturally.
Yeah, they have to rain for a term of time, yeah. So you want to appoint them at the beginning.
Well, that's the reason why I was thinking that could be on Monday night, you know. Now, I love the idea of using pumpkins to, it would be a mess to clean up, but like in the parking lot at the high school with the who can throw a pumpkin the furthest, yeah. You know, that type of thing. But
a sure way to affect the weather if you're depending on produce for a festival in your planning.
Well, we're moving it at the middle of September, so which would be now. Of course, we had that storm the other night, which is right in the middle of when this would be.
It was quite nice.
Speaking of pumpkin throwing, has anybody been to, I think it's Johnson's Farms out by I-5. You take the hayride underneath the
bridge and you, first, before you get, even get on the hayride, everybody gets a bucket and you load it up with little pumpkins. And then you're supposed to throw it all scarecrows along the way, and then underneath I-5 is filled with tin. Has anybody done this? It's a blast. And then you throw pumpkins at the tin and make noise, and then you get over on the other side of I-5 where the big pumpkin patch is, and they drop you off, but they have these huge slingshots. I mean, these poles stand 20, 30 feet in the air, and then you put your pumpkins in it, and you just start launching them to see, like, they have it all set. It's a lot of fun.
I haven't seen that. How long have they done that?
They've done it for years. We've gone several times. I think it's called Johnson's Farms out there. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You can easily spend a couple hours there just having a good time doing stuff. And they have stuff for kids, and yeah, the big thing, you know, is the slingshot pumpkin launch. It's a lot of fun.
You think they get upset if we borrow their ideas?
I don't know where we do them out here, but it does make a mess.
Public Works has a bit of space out west of town there that you could probably launch quite a few pumpkins on.
Well, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Use that out there.
You're welcome, Gary.
He's part of the cleanup crew, right?
It all rolls down the ground, so I'm fine with that.
I think something to do with, I would like to see something to kind of, besides a birthday celebration, to bring it together. Pumpkins would be very appropriate that time of the year.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
We've got a past claim on it from 1909. We're not stealing.
So we're not stealing from Johnson's.
I say we do it.
It was called Pumpkin, P-U-N-K.
Okay, so let's.
Literature is on the way to you all.
We might be more outrageous than anyone else.
Yeah.
Well, I think you can, I don't in any way mean to be discouraging by laying down organizational tricks, because I think the longer the celebration can be and the longer the queen can reign, the better, and all these. It's just, you put out your basic concept and see what the response is. I think it'll be robust, and then you just grow it. And if it turns into a month, you know, really the churches and the school, the city doesn't have a civic auditorium or a pavilion.
Right.
So it's kind of up to the churches and the school. They have the venues, you know, and the festival park, you know. The chamber has a huge meeting room right next to Rick's office. So they're not much help. but you know, if you get that enthusiasm from other organizations, somebody wants to do things in the evening when people are working, then as long as this august body or the mayor or the city sanctions it, you know, people are staying within the rails and not being profane, you know, or doing something with moral turpitude.
Would that be a problem for the city if we did like something every evening, say starting on a Monday and then ending up on Sunday as the last event?
I don't think so.
It's going to be dark.
Sure.
Is the thing.
Because it would be like this time next year, right?
Yeah. So we'd have to figure out something that would, or somebody would have to figure out something that they wanted to do in the dark.
Sure.
Or inside somewhere. So.
Well, even if we picked a night and did like Monday night, pick the we could call it the pumpkin queen or whatever, she could have her court of pumpkins.
Oh, that's right.
Or however that goes, I don't know.
The carved pumpkin contest for the best pumpkins would be her court.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh.
And then kind of do something each night and include the school and, and then work up to the weekend where we have our bigger events during the day or something like the parade or whatever we decide to do, and just do a little something each night.
Yeah, and then have the big events on the weekend when it would be, we'd have the daytime to use too. Because we could plan whoever wanted to take it over.
and do things during the week. You know, it's possible we could get into the school to let us have the, volleyball would be going on, but everything else would be outside.
It's funny, I think we're all used to being involved in events that have to make money, but the kind of the cool thing about this is that's not the...
No, that's not...
There's lots of cool things you can do if you're not trying to make money. I mean, I've seen schools do, back in American Legion days, you know, there were essay contests, you know. Nowadays, it's a little more plagiarism.
Yeah.
But it's still...
Whatever they get off the internet.
It's still sparking an interest in history, you know, in the community, so... And that's painless and doesn't cost anything, and you have a panel that judges them, and, you know, there's a school activity for during that week.
I'm going to need to get out by 8, so I appreciate... I will be available whenever you need me to be here, so I'm excited about it.
And any ideas from any of the other, you know, the churches and ministers?
I'll talk to them next week, yeah.
That would be fantastic.
I see all of them almost every month.
When would you, when do we, before he leaves real quick, our next committee meeting date? I think maybe because we're starting to get the ball rolling, I would rather not wait for another month. So what do y'all think about in a couple of weeks? Would that be possible?
Yeah, I can always send, you know, we have...
So what does everybody else's calendar look like? Say 2 weeks from today, what would that be?
That would be, we would have committee meetings.
That would be October.
And I won't be here.
Oh, that's right, you're gone for...
What date?
I'm trying to see, 28.
What about a big buck contest next year?
It's on the Thursday.
Get some interest there.
No pressure, Gary. Pressure on that one at all.
Yeah.
I think it would probably have to be more towards the end of the month, just because the committee meetings the first week, council and stuff the second.
There's so much at first part of the first week of each month. So how about this, that we have the city council meeting on Tuesday?
Yeah, in October you got a council meeting on the 12th, and then if you do the second one, the 26th.
So what about Thursday the 14th?
I could...
Same time, same place.
Thursday 14th?
Uh-huh. Would that work for most of us?
It sounds okay. I'm not for sure. But I can always send Darren or Steve.
Rick, what do you...
That's good for me.
Okay, we're going to set it for October the 14th on the Thursday. Okay?
I have an eye appointment just before that, so I will be here with dilated eyes.
Okay.
I'll see you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Good to see you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's okay, you'll just look enthusiastic about whatever we throw out.
You know, one of the things that we could do, I'm sorry, you interrupted. We were talking about the tour of homes. That's something that could take place in an evening, too, because you'd be going, of course, you'd be out on the streets, I guess. That wouldn't be...
Like in the in homes?
Yeah, in...
Historic houses?
Historic houses. I guess it would be meaning opening up your home if you're going to do that, rather than just walking on the street.
I don't know that that's a good idea, just for safety reasons later.
Yeah, you're right. No, it's not.
Times have changed.
The tour of the homes would be for somebody who's not interested in the parade or something, you know.
Some people tour homes for...
Case the homes.
Other purposes, yeah.
Maybe the tour of homes on Sunday afternoon, if somebody doesn't want to, you know, do something else. We'll keep it on the list for now. But, But yes, who is in charge of putting stuff on the community page? The city's community page.
We don't have a community page for the city, do we? We have our website.
We have a website, wouldn't that be the same?
We have a website, but we don't. We're not a member of a community page.
We don't put anything on our website?
We do on our website.
Yes, website, but not like Facebook or anything like that.
No, I just mean to say that this is gonna happen and when and.
Yeah, you can put that on the city website, that's not an issue.
Okay, thank you.
Typically Kitty or.
Jason, you've been quiet back there, you have any ideas?
No, ma'am, I do not.
Okay.
On our reader board, we get our reader board.
Yeah, that's a nightmare, by the way.
It's, is that why we haven't heard anything in a while?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to get Scandinavian Festival upset with us, but I want to celebrate more the junction and the railroad aspect to keep away from stepping on their toes. So I'm not sure exactly how to go about that without, I guess, talking to them.
Yeah, I think, you know, like they should be included because it has become part of the city's history.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe we have a able skiver booth at the end of the parade or something to include them on.
Hey, they could put up a float, you know, that represents the Scandinavian, because it is a part of our history.
I wouldn't treat them like any different than any other organization, whatever they want to do, you know, as long as they don't.
And a lot of that's gonna come through the chamber because the businesses and organizations, it's one of the places. But this is a Junction City celebration, so Monroe and Harrisburg, they want to come and see the parades and stuff, it's fine, but they're not.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I think if we advertise enough, people will come to, you know, because I think just a little bit of advertising, maybe the month before would, you know, maybe bring people out here too.
Well, I have friends that don't miss the light parade. And they come from Springfield and Albany and Eugene. And they will follow it all three nights, some of them. and they love the fact that we still have a noise parade, you know, the homecoming parade. We have enjoyed that and we're very surprised because you just don't find that anymore in little towns.
I'll tell you what, you reminded me Jason was back there. And this is something that I pushed early on and just kind of, there hasn't been a lot of interest lately, so I didn't surprisingly think to bring it up until now, but we have a modern pumpkin show poster that we put out last summer and sent out just to try to spark interest in reviving that. And at the bottom, it's got modern artwork of happy vegetables. 100 years ago, that poster, the vegetables were kind of scary. You've ever seen that poster? So, but at the bottom of the poster, we put the Pumpkin Festival Returns, you know, it was fall or October of 2022. We did this a while back. Coming soon or Pumpkin Show Returns at the Junction City Fairgrounds 2022. So some history of the 150th discussion is we stood up as a historic society and made a speech, you know, 3.5 years ago, and then we did browbeat the council during Andrea's term and having a work session on it one night, and I think you have those minutes that I sent to you when this came up earlier this year. And the council had a work session and focused on developing that area out west in a non-expensive way just to get it going, you know, to start working on that potential venue, you know, a parking lot and the walking trails and, you know, whatever. So I should mention that as the history of this discussion. It's like the Lee House, COVID has changed schedules, so, you know, I think when we were dreaming about that, we thought maybe we could break ground on the fairgrounds concept you know, by the anniversary, but, so I don't know. There's an opening on the record for you to discuss that now or in the future. That is something the previous council was, made their number one priority, actually, for projects to do with the 150th anniversary, so. In memory of those brave people, Commander Woodmore and Sandy.
Yeah.
I'll bring that up.
It's,
You're not jumping at that, so I guess I'm satisfied the record.
Well, I think that we've made a good start tonight, and I try and get these kind of, in some sort of an order, and we've got the tape too, so that in case I miss something. But I'm excited about this, and I want to thank y'all so much for taking time from busy lives to come here and do this. And anything else that you think of or whatever, between now and our next meeting, if you don't want to wait, call or text me. And I'm trying to get caught up on emails right now, so that's not the best way, because you may get at the bottom of the list. But yeah, and I think you're right. I don't have, I guess I'm going to ask the rest of y'all. I think Andrew is right in that it should be more than just a weekend. But like I say, I think it would be nice to do it something in the evening, Monday through Friday, leading up to the climax, I guess, on the weekend. How do y'all feel about that? Do you think it's too big a undertaking? Or?
I think if you can get people to volunteer to do that, that's gonna be your, that's gonna be your struggle.
Staffing is the, that's what I've been trying to say, in a longer way, most of the evening is, if people step up, you know, you can make a mayoral or a council with a council proclamation that some span of time, a month, is anniversary month, and then see how it fills in, you know. You can put the word out, and you can pick your core weekend and then build out from that. If somebody wants to
get people on board, like the school to do something one night, and maybe the Scandinavian Festival to do something one night, and you know, you get those people on board so they're planning that, and we're not all trying to plan that in this.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's going to get overwhelming, and it's not going to go anywhere, quite honestly.
Well, you're right. Have the churches do one, the schools do one.
And you get all those people involved and let them buy into doing what they want to do with some kind of history of Junction City.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
As long as they hopefully understand we're trying to keep this non-commercial, not trying to, you know.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you just have to explain that to them. We want you guys to do something that involves the history of Junction City. We don't care necessarily what that is, but we'd like them to plan that, so to speak.
Yeah, and if it's, you know, if it's, you know, it's a matter of, it's a matter of staffing and people's time. You don't want to set the bar too high and then fail, so. But you can proclaim a month and then just see how it fills in. You know, you can set the possibilities high, but not the guarantee. Because we don't, most of us here, everybody here tonight is quite busy, so. You know, I'm working with engineers to try to get the Lee House pulled together after all that neglect, and we'll be putting out some publications, you know, for the anniversary, and helping with whatever people, you know, want to know, but.
That would keep it a lot simpler for, in a way, for everybody to have, like, the schools take one night, that, you know, whatever, and then on the weekend we can do parades, we can do contests or whatever, but that way you'd have something every night, but not something that,
Director Capping said, just as the mayor and council, and even Rick, you know, in the chamber to some degree, pin people down. Everybody will come with ideas once they hear, well, you guys should do this, well, you should do this for that. But pin them down and say, well, why don't you do that?
And maybe.
There's Grange too.
Yeah, and yeah, we got like groups like the Lions Club. I'm sure there's other stuff.
Sir Optimus.
But, I forgot what I was going to say. But I think if, maybe, oh, what I was going to say is, maybe we should kind of bring it up a little bit at the city, every city council meeting, just kind of as a reminder, like, hey, we're going to do this, and we want volunteers, and we have a committee, and maybe throw out the committee is going to meet at this next date, and maybe we can get more people to come and participate and want to be a part of it. And, you know, if we have one meeting a month, you know, we've got basically, what, 11 months left, so maybe people will come if we throw it out there and maybe do a little advertising around town with it.
For the public comment section on the council agenda for that topic.
Yeah. Well, you see.
That sounds mischievous, but I think that, you know.
I'm just listening, y'all. We got the Grange, got Lions, Sir Optimus, Scandi Fest, schools, even the fire department. And that's more than five right there that, you know, could do something. Okay, you know, you take this night and whatever.
Yeah, because.
Not come up with it.
It's in the organizational details to see. None of us, I think, in this room want to or have the time to organize a group of volunteers.
Yeah.
So we don't want volunteers. We want volunteer coordinators.
Yes.
We want to.
You want bosses.
We want to coordinate with the coordinators.
Yeah.
Right? So that the Grange is a coordinator. They're going to pick an event, you know, and coordinate. They're going to find their volunteers, not us, you know. We're going to talk to the Grange about their idea and coordinate it with, you know, if the city's going to advertise it or the historical society's going to, you know, if this, the bigger this gets, the more you're going to want to delegate. You're not going to want this committee to be looking for volunteers.
No.
I don't think. Feel free to do that, but I don't have the time.
I don't want to be, so. Before we close, Andrew, where were you talking about the Johnson thing? Because I want to take some of my family.
It's on the road from Harrisburg to Coburg, just short of Coburg.
Yeah, let me Google it real quick.
I go that way. I went to go with my grandkids and my sons.
It's not a too flashy of an entrance, but it's.
Yeah, let me Google it here.
Oh, it's where you buy. I buy my flowers there at Johnson's.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No,
oh,
not. Okay. The nursery on
Oh, not, oh it's not, not the
no,
nursery.
No, no,
you go
this is the one
before before their time.
I should ask, is it going to be all right for us to be here on the, what, what's the date?
14th.
October, our next meeting.
Yeah, the 14th.
Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah, should be fine.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I should have asked that first.
I'd love to see public comment on this topic and watch you all try to keep them on that topic. I think that'd be great. I'll listen in.
Maybe it's worthwhile looking at creating like a Facebook page for this particular event itself to solicit comments and thoughts and ideas.
City moderated?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, keep it from getting crazy.
That's probably a good idea because so many people check Facebook when they don't check anything else.
Oh, it might give them something positive to check.
Yeah. Look at how, there's just a picture of one of the
slingshot it's
things.
Like catapult.
Yeah, catapult.
Yeah.
What I call
Like they used to use
slingshot.
In wars.
Trebuchet.
They have some
by
big ones. And then they have.
Kind of like a pumpkin chunkin event?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they have.
It's so cool.
Then they have the big rubber bands that come down that you can. However you want to do it, but yeah,
it's going to be your most popular event with a catapult.
Put them out at the lagoons. Yeah, can't really hurt much out there with a pumpkin catapult.
No, set it up. Launch them.
Too many land in the lagoon, doesn't that affect your BOD?
I was gonna say, angle it to the lagoon and watch your lane flip out.
Increase your biomass in there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Get enough catapult, you can aim them at the lane's house.
Yeah, probably don't wanna give them that much catapult. I'm willing to irritate her to a certain level, but launching pumpkins at her house, that's probably a level I don't wanna go to.
No, I mean, we have plenty of space.
It's 22 miles from here. Let me get the app, oops, no, I don't wanna go to it. I wanted the address.
So is it past where you turn to go off of the Coburg Harrisburg Road, Bowers? Is past Bowers?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's almost into Coburg.
Okay, so it.
City of Coburg.
Yeah, you go, it's.
Okay, so it, see, I always turn on Bowers to go to Chad's and them, so.
I think it's Armitage.
Oh, Armitage?
Yeah.
Armitage Park, Armitage, you know, the bridge there.
Okay.
No, it's on this side.
There's the address.
Oh, okay. Oh, I know where that is. Couldn't go there, I should go there. Yeah. Armitage Road. Thank you, yeah. We will have to try that out. Sounds like fun. So has anyone got anything to add?
Protect yourselves, recruit recruiters.
Oh, yes.
Don't recruit yourself, recruit recruiters.
And Rick, because you've got the.
The key to.
Information on all of the, like I say, most of the organizations we've been talking about and businesses. And the business community might, some of them might want to do something too, who knows?
Well, I think if we're gonna try to promote shopping local.
Yeah. Well, maybe one night just have try and get everyone to open up their doors at night for customers and we all go shopping. You know?
Somebody may wanna sponsor the pumpkin carving contest award, right?
Yeah.
Prize.
Yeah. And do have the contest downtown and award the winner and stuff and have all the shops open and everybody can shop and.
They can have Heritage Day.
And they can vote on the favorite pumpkin and then at the end of the evening, you give something to the.
Rick can handle the commercialism part, you know, if somebody wants to. Well, I'll donate $500 if the pumpkin queen will be called I'm not gonna say, walk me. If they're called the Armac Gun Shop Pumpkin Queen, I'll donate $500. You'll have to handle that kind of issue.
Ryan would do that.
That's what I was talking about.
Oh, there they are. Oh, so they do the little.
Yeah, they do the.
Well, you drive by and throw at the pumpkins at the, that would be, oh, how cute. Aww.
So.
That would just, that's such a, and that's far enough away from Junction City, surely they wouldn't get upset with it.
Yeah, we do that too.
That's a long way, 22 miles.
I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I'm pretty sure they don't have that copyrighted or patented.
You're right.
It's a great idea.
So that's something maybe the city could do, you know, like say out by the lagoon. As long as we don't aim at any houses, that is.
Yeah, you're far enough way out there.
You know, that fairgrounds footprint doesn't cost any money to have a footprint.
And where do you work?
Park cars and put pumpkins.
And they would get everybody.
Venue.
You know? Yeah.
Maybe we can get gravel, the parking lot anyway, and then.
Well, like I say, it would introduce the city to that area too.
There you go. Yeah, we got that.
Well, thank you all so much.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Did you turn this off, Karen?
Not yet.
And it's exciting.
Thanks for having an interest, Mayor.